More of your phone calls, 410-583-1057. Ravens, they another premature end to their season. How do the people feel? Let's go back out to the phone lines and talk to Jamal. Jamal, you're on the Fan.
Thanks. Well, first, Jason, everything you say is right. The sad thing about it, I feel like nothing's going to change. We got the 14th pick. We probably going
DB.
Trade back, get another cornerback, find some more cornerbacks.
They're just taunting us.
Hey, Jair will probably come even cheaper this time around. True. You ran it back with Watkins. Maybe run it back with him.
Vet minimum.
Yeah. Van Noy will come even cheaper.
And probably get an offensive line who's got injured right before the draft.
Yeah, he'll be good for 28.
Yeah.
Comp picks.
Appreciate the call.
I'm not right about everything, but I can see through some of these bozos.
Yeah.
They keep doing the same stuff. They keep selling you guys the same BS, thinking you'll fall for it.
So you took credit for it, that you've shamed the Orioles into changing their
spots.
I'm
part of that. I mean, if there was... Do you think they did it of their own volition?
No, I think that
they got shamed into doing it.
Yes.
By the results that I told you would come if you didn't change sooner.
Do you think that what has happened this season will make them reevaluate the way they do things?
They definitely listen. They listen. They transcribe. They hang on every word. That's a fact. Will it change anything? I don't know. The guy who runs the team is a recluse. Unless you're in the richest half of a percent of the world, you don't see him. You don't hear from him. He lives on a boat.
I know we're getting into it tomorrow, but if you're Steve Bisciotti, you have to talk. Whether you keep John Harbaugh, you need to talk, or you get rid of the only coach that you hired, you have to talk. And I know he didn't when Dick Cass ended up stepping out.
Really,
but this is like...
Steve, you're aware the guy you're hiring went 0-16 as a general manager in this league before he found himself with the Washington Mystics. You're aware of the career arc, are you not?
This is the
business
most
side isn't football side.
Yeah, but I could hire him in 5 minutes and Dick vouch for him, so I'd have to leave my boat to do it.
This is, I don't even know if it's arguably, the most disastrous season in franchise history considering the expectations heading into the year. To go, to not even miss the... You had a losing record.
Yeah, you were six times
at home, and your coach leading into the last collapse was telling you, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter where we play, and who cares about losing in primetime at home to a kid on the other sideline who's 22 years old and has never played on the road in primetime before. It's just another game.
They were the betting favorite to win the Super Bowl before the season started. Let's go to Mike. Mike, you're on the Fan. Mike? No, oh, Mike.
Yeah. Mike. Mike.
How about Zeke in Arbutus? Zeke, you're on the Fan.
Hey, I want to make two quick comments and then kind of hear what you guys respond with. I feel like everybody's giving Lamar a free pass. 5 completed passes against a super run-heavy defense with all their fat butts on the field, and you complete 5 passes.
Did you watch the fourth quarter, Zeke?
I did, and you know what that looked like?
That looked like a guy that put a team on his back to give him a chance to win a game.
It's never happened before in the history of the league, a fourth quarter with a quarterback and a wide receiver connecting on 2 50-yard-plus touchdown passes in a fourth quarter in the history of this league.
Does it look like any football that you've ever seen? It, to me, looks like broken play bull crap.
You don't like the aesthetics.
Yeah, so it didn't look like Joe Montana.
What do you think of the defense?
What did the defense look like to you, Zeke?
That's a different story. I'm not talking about that.
I am curious how you felt about the defense. Because it's obvious we will agree to disagree on
Lamar. He had 3 passing touchdowns of 38 yards or more on the road with the season on the line.
He was not good from the end of the first quarter to probably the fourth quarter. He was exceptional in the fourth quarter.
It's too much broken play.
Who cares how it looks if it works?
Yeah,
it works.
It's a broken play because the guy calling the plays and the fat guys in front of him let a guy come through the A-gap unencumbered and off the left tackle unencumbered.
Time out. If the defense could get one stop in the fourth quarter, they're playing this week.
They don't write it up
broken
that way
plays.
Because real teams don't have that happen in situations like that.
Who cares how it looks? He's 1-of-1. It works. It's that anybody else gets sacked and nothing happens. The offensive line stinks. He made it happen. Broken plays. How about the defense is garbage?
How about Aaron Rodgers had 81 attempts against them over 2 games without an interception and with just 2 sacks? How about that? And getting touched six times on 85 dropbacks.
I remember we heard that a billion times leading into the season. Turnovers. Yeah, we're going to force more turnovers.
No, we didn't. It's a T-shirt. Keith and Crofton. Keith, you're on the Fan.
Hey, guys. First of all, how is 105.7's health coverage in the event of Jason having a heart attack?
Jason gets oxygen.
I don't think it's great, but we've got it. And in this day and age, I know, all seriousness, I thank God we got it. And don't even get me started. You really want me to have an aneurysm? Let's start talking about healthcare in this country and why we don't have social health care in this country.
We're talking football.
Now that you bring it up, I can get way madder about that than this. But I digress. Bob Annie.
I see I've opened a Pandora's box, so I'll divert. So were you guys aware that it was the same officiating crew that did the Baltimore-Pittsburgh game in Baltimore?
My buddy over at NFL Ref Stats tweeted something about that, so I did see his tweet about it.
So once again, a lot of very questionable calls on the Ravens, and apparently on the missed field goal at the end of the game.
Yeah, there was leverage. Yeah, missed leverage call. I saw Lamar quote tweet it.
I mean, again, I don't want to look for excuses, but I'm just curious. That does just feel a little bit oogie to me.
No, I hear you. I appreciate the call.
I can't blame the – look, was the Zay Flowers
– That was a horrible call.
On the first play where Derrick Henry went nuts.
Look.
There was a play where –
nothing will ever top the Isaiah Likely three. No, now he's got three legs. Now we're going to tripod rule. Yeah. I'm 52 years old. Never heard the tripod. Yeah.
But there was a play where Steelers got called for roughing the pass.
Yeah, guy tripped.
He should,
yeah. That should have been 15 yards on Voorhees.
I can't complain about – dude – you have to find a way to beat the Steelers once. This is not a good Steelers team.
Yeah.
It's not. Their team MVP, as voted on by the media, is Kenneth freaking Gainwell.
Yeah. And Kenneth Gainwell, who we knew would be a funnel, and your $20 million linebacker could never get in the way of it.
And
guess what? If they had thrown it to Gainwell instead of handing off to Gainwell at the end of the half, that would have been a touchdown, too.
I say that with all due respect that Gainwell is probably one of the better value signings of the offseason.
He's a wanna-bet all-star is what Kenneth Gainwell is.
He's making bet minimum. But I think that's very telling that Kenneth Gainwell is their team MVP. It's
what do you think's going to happen this week when he tries to throw it 12 times to Kenneth Gainwell? You think at least one of them's going to be picked off and taken to the house? The ball's only going two places.
By the way, and the Houston Texans have two monsters.
They've got real defense.
Yeah.
These dudes aren't even on two deep on the Texas on the Houston Texans defense.
Yeah. Let's grab Nick in Bel Air. Nick, you're on the Fan.
You guys have really wrapped it up well. I'll just tell you, as a Ravens fan, this happens decades and decades where you have an organization up Pittsburgh that keeps playing football an extra week or so, and it's just demoralizing what this Harbaugh era is doing. You know, players come here because they say he's a great player's coach. It's just the intensity and the atmosphere of this place now. Like Jason said, 100%. The complacency is just boiling over. And Raven fans who kind of follow the X's and O's a little bit, they can see it. I gleaned from Tomlin at the halftime prepper they gave him before he went in. He said, you know, they said, you know, Derrick Henry's got over 100 yards and the Ravens are doing this and that. And, you know, Tomlin's saying, look, I don't care about names. It's about, you know, tackling and stopping people on third down. And he saw the trend happening. And listen, I'll end my call here. The beat writers at in this town are sickening. You got Lamar up there who just made a great performance in the fourth quarter. You know, talk some X's and O's with them. You know, if you want to be critical.
I don't mind them asking.
And Lamar does not talk about
right, he's not going to be at clean
so
it out.
We have no idea
and
when
his,
he's talking
look, to look, and you want to know why they're asking that question? Because unlike the Buffalo Bills, these guys let it play out a year longer than they had to. And we brought experts in the field on last summer to tell you, if they do this, this is what they're setting up with Lamar. And for the season to be this horrible, and the last chance you have a time to get Lamar on the record, and frankly, I think the fact that he wouldn't even throw Harbs a verbal bouquet was pretty telling. And nobody in that locker room, I mean, I was up all night.
Ronnie Stanley.
Twitter, looking at every beat person, everything that's put out there. Nobody that I could find.
No.
Through him, even a, hey, it's the only coach I've known. Hey, this is on players, not coach. There was none of that.
No.
So I got no issues with them bringing it up. I wish they would have asked about the GM. What'd you think of that offensive line they built for you? What's Jair up to these days,
Lamar? Knowing Lamar, he's going to say, I love my guys.
I understand.
He's going to. He's not going to – he'll tell you he loves his guys.
I guarantee you, Lamar Jackson, with some truth serum, would be like, well, let's just go look at who's on the field again last night. We're talking about Dez Walker. We're talking about D-Hop, who's done nothing all year, who's pretty much cooked, not being like not making a play. Of course, we're talking about Bateman not being available. Shocker! Yeah. They had a chance to move and sell high on Bateman. No, let's get over on him one more time and double down. And hey, Steve, look at this. We got even a more team friend. Was he a better player? Think he's going to be a better player this year? You think that was a one-year wonder that maybe we should sell on? Or you think bringing him back into this locker room again on another team-friendly deal is in his best interest? Like, how do you think that's going to play out in January? You think Van Noy's going to be better this January than he was last January? Do you think what happened with Marlon last year, if you really went back and watched the film, was like, how many of those interceptions was just mooks like Russell Wilson handing it to him? Like, he's going to be a year older. Are we building a team where he's in the slot all the time? If he's not, then how good of a boundary corner is Nate Wiggins going to be? Oh, he's going to be the most thrown-on corner in the NFL. Like, and again, or bad hire, set in real time.
Yeah.
But who is he working with?
I did enjoy seeing Wiggins get hurt because Marlon couldn't make a tackle last night. Like, and that was a theme of the night, that Marlon couldn't make a tackle. Alas, you want to talk about what's going to happen next?
Sure.
So the season is over. What's next? We'll discuss next here on The Fan. Season is over sooner than a lot of us would have liked, but now we look to ahead to the future, and the Ravens are having locker room clean out today. That started at 2 o'clock, so it might be done by now. They will have their off-season media responsibility, depending on who's here and who stays, who's here and who's gone. Alas, what do we think happens next with this team? We know they're locked into the 14th pick in the draft.
I mean, in terms of the minutia, this is a place that Bisciotti hasn't been in really ever.
Probably the year that he had to fire Billick because they went like 5-11, and they were, that was a disaster. Like, yeah. Players were throwing flags, and like it seemed like the inmates were running the asylum kind of thing. It was bad.
And remember,
but even that, I feel like we all knew that was happening. Where this is a little bit.
Well, you mean he knew he was getting fired?
But he changed his mind. Remember, he came out and said Billick's safe, and then a couple weeks later fired him.
Yeah. So, been a long time. I mean, he was very, he's in a different place in his life. He's a different point.
That's 18 years ago.
And that was also going into him making his first coaching hire.
Yep.
So he's never had to fire a guy he hired. Which is remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
But here we are. And so this was not going to be, Atlanta, Raheem Morris, 45 minutes after the season's over. Yeah.
Hey, great fight at the end of the season by them.
Yeah. And so I think it's going to require, and also given where he is contractually, that if there is going to be an extrication of Harbs from the organization.
Same thing as Billick, though.
It's going to have to... Yeah, but Billick was different because I didn't think Billick was going to get a job unless he wanted to be an offensive coordinator and reprove himself, which he never was going to do. And he was making so much money he didn't have to do. He wasn't going to be an it guy. As far as I know, Brian Billick had one head coaching interview the entirety of his life after he was let go by Steve Bisciotti. And that was with Philadelphia at a time when they were having one of those coaching searches that was totally off the rails. And people were pulling out of it. And like it was very early in Howie's tenure and it was bad. And so Billick did get an interview.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Harbaugh.
Yeah.
Harbaugh's going to get hired in 30 seconds. Whatever
you may think of Harbaugh the last 3 or 4 years here, he's going to be able to call his own shots. But so, like, how are we going to handle this contractually? My PR people got to get together with your agent, right? We got to get our story straight. Like, there's more to it. Now, I don't know that he has to fly on the guy's yacht and we've got to wait for organizational meetings to do it, but it's not going to happen lickety-split.
Here's a little color for how outside view Harbaugh. So Ian O'Connor, longtime columnist, New York, he says this was this morning. As we sit here right now, I think Kevin Stefanski is the leader in the Giants clubhouse. The team has had internal conversations about John Harbaugh, as you would expect, in case he leaves the Ravens. Harbaugh would hurdle Stefanski if he's free. So just some color for people that think, well, John Harbaugh's a terrible coach, whatever. No. Outside, he's going to get a job in 30 seconds if he wants it.
These teams would fall all over themselves. Now, do you want to try to make this a trade situation? Mm-hmm. Would he want to explore college? I know you'd say, well, it's late in the game for college. John Harbaugh pops up on the scene. a lot of these donors who think the guy they got ain't worth what we're paying him. Let's get blow him out and bring this guy in.
For what it's worth, he's told media on and off the record he has no interest in coaching in college. So that just for what it's worth.
And he may want to take a leap year. And so there will be lawyers. So anyone who's thinking, oh, well, nothing's happened yet, that means nothing's going to happen. I don't feel that way at all. Now, if they were to start firing coordinators and assistant coaches and put a release out that lists a certain number of coaches as not being back, then that would be a red flag for me if I'm of the camp, which I'm in, that this thing needs to start over. Because that be one thing if they say we're letting everybody out of their contract to explore what else is out there while we mull decisions. That's one thing. You get a press release saying Zach Orr has been relieved of his duties, we've agreed to part ways with this assistant coach and that assistant coach and that assistant coach, then that would be an indication to me that
John Stanton.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah. You don't see a coordinator get fired and then a couple days later a head coach get fired in yeah. this realm. Now, yeah. now this is very inside. Maybe it's much ado about nothing, but I do find it interesting that PR is yet to send out an email of when John Harbaugh is going to talk.
Absolutely noteworthy.
I think that that is very interesting, but look, I've been saying it for weeks now. I think it took me until the Texans game to start questioning John Harbaugh and his future in Baltimore, because that game never happens under him. And then it was the first Steelers game where, look, John had a hell of a run here. And if you would have told Ravens fan Steve Bisciotti that he'd be here through the 2025 season when he came to Baltimore in 2008, everyone would have signed up for that. The postseason success early, the Super Bowl early, navigating the beginning of Lamar Jackson. John Harbaugh did a tremendous job here. But that being said, there is an expiration date on all of these things.
Nothing lasts forever.
And it just might be
except
best.
The bone simulator.
Yeah, where is the bone simulator?
Bone simulator featured prominently in Friday's New Year's resolution six pack.
Yes,
oh,
yeah, yeah, it did.
Did I? Or was it Friday?
It was Wednesday.
Wednesday.
It was Wednesday. Yeah, Wednesday was our Friday.
Were there any other in your six pack of me?
Yes.
Or was that?
Yeah.
Okay. Odyssey app.
Odyssey app. Okay.
Yeah.
But, we need the ratings. If we even get ratings from that, I don't know.
But with this, we brought it up constantly. His mentor Andy Reid, and just the second coaching life that he had when he left Philadelphia. I have a ton of faith that John, if he went Tennessee or any, he will
Tennessee. Interesting.
He will immediately raise the floor of the organization that he goes to, and he's going to be highly sought after, and rightfully so.
Coming up next, Ravens lose to the Steelers. Time for a six pack, our first of the day. Six pack of defensive observations, and man, there's a lot of stuff to observe from last night. We'll give you ours next here on The Fan. Six-pack time, six-pack sponsored by the Good Feet Store. Come in and try the Good Feet feeling today. Comfort, energy, performance, and pain relief at the Good Feet Store. Go to goodfeet.com for more details. For the last time this season, it's our six-pack of defensive observations. And Beltway Ben, let's get started.
Number six.
I put this at six, but the goal line stand at the end of the first half. And I didn't love the play call by the if I'm a Steelers fan, but the Ravens actually made a tackle there, which is going to come up later as a theme in this game. But the Ravens went to half up 10-3 and should have had a lot of momentum. Alas, that didn't happen.
My six is the blitz was not effective. Look, Zach Orr, I can't say he didn't try to blitz enough, but for me, it's when and where he blitzed, where on the field and what downs. That was puzzling to me. So he did blitz on 11 occasions, and this is on a day where, you know, threw the ball 30 times. But 8 of the 11 blitzes were on first down. Those blitzes were not that effective. He only blitzed twice on second down, and one of those was the 14-yard completion to Freiermuth on third and six, which was a bit of a backbreaker. He didn't fool anybody with the blitz. We didn't see people being deployed as blitzers we hadn't seen before. We didn't see twist and stunt games creating any havoc up front. And we didn't see any sort of adjustments once the pendulum started swinging against this defense, which usually happens.
in the fourth quarter. This will be it for Zach Orr. And this season, Zach Orr's defense, when they face guys who've won playoff games in the past or who are going to the playoffs as starters this year, 3-9 against those teams, 270 passing yards per game, 19 touchdowns, just 5 interceptions on 441 attempts, just 19 sacks on 486 dropbacks in those 12 games. Pathetic 4.1% sack rate. He did not have the goods, or frankly the players, which we'll get to do anything to push back against competent passing games.
Number five.
Gigi touched on tackling, and I've got another particular culprit of this individually higher in this list. But the tackling in the secondary is garbage. And if all you're going to do is collect DBs, and your $20 million middle linebacker is going to play like a $3 million middle linebacker, then your safeties and your corners better damn well be able to stop people once they catch passes in front of them. And the Ole tackling, the not wrapping up, the bad pursuit angles, the over-boogieing in the secondary, when you knew they're all going to be underneath passes to Gainwell and the tight ends, it was abject failure. And again, if this general manager just wants to collect defensive backs and none of them make plays on the ball, and none of them really get sacks when you blitz them, and none of them tackle that well, except for Hamilton, who left this game, and he's really a linebacker now, then what the hell are you doing? What are you building? What is your defensive roster?
My five is Marlon Humphrey, which in what should be his last
game. He was the worst example of the secondary players who can't tackle.
This should be his last game as a Baltimore Raven, at least, like, it should be his last game as a Baltimore Raven. He was terrible.
Number four.
Mike, enough about Marlon.
Number four is the missed tackle.
Oh, you're good.
Yeah.
Trippy would have wanted it that way anyway. Yeah. Trippy's like, I don't want to hear anything about Marlon.
Where's Trippy?
Yeah. He was in Pittsburgh.
I hope he's all right.
That's okay, Beltway Ben. The four is the missed tackling. It was a disaster last night to the point that it got Nate Wiggins hurt at one point because Nate Wiggins had to dive in and make a play because three different people missed a tackle. I think it was on Kenneth Gainwell. These guys, it's been a disaster all year, and then when it mattered most last night, in what was a playoff game, and don't get it twisted, that was a playoff game, they sucked tackling.
Four is a fraud is a fraud, and Fred Smith's kid is a Nepo baby. But I have to give him credit. They pounced the moment Kyle Hamilton left the game. It was a no longer lobs over Kyle Hamilton, less high percentage passes. He could now throw on a straight line. He could throw fastballs to seam routes, knowing if Hamilton ain't there, nobody's going to cover Freiermuth. We could put even broke-ass Thielen in the slot. He's going to catch a go route in the seam. The seam is wide open. He attacked it immediately the moment we had the friendly fire between Gilman and Hamilton, and it did change the game. How about 3.6 air yards per attempt while Hamilton's in there? 13.2 when he leaves. How about 15 of 27 for 96 passing yards while Hamilton's on the field? 11 of 18 for 222 with three touchdowns and a QB rating of 121.5 when he leaves. But, like, we see this happen in games sometimes, and you're like, why aren't they immediately pouncing? He pounced the way Tom Brady would pounce
third
in these
and
situations.
10. Right, the play after it's 3rd
We're
and
going
10.
Right where that guy would be.
Yep.
And I'm daring any. All you did, DaCosta, is get DBs. Let's see if any of them can run with Freiermuth, who can't run, or run with Thielen, who can't run, or run with the carcass of Valdez. Put anybody in the slot now.
Yeah, I'm with you, Jason. The game really changed there, and it was a rough night for our Darius Washington as well. Yep. Missed tackles for him. He couldn't keep up with Freiermuth down the seam. And I am surprised the fact that they blitzed 11 times, but I guess it was just so poor that it felt like they didn't blitz that much. But they were not blitzing in critical moments.
He wasn't bringing 6 or 7 either. He wasn't doing wink stuff. No. Like he just he can't.
Six pack of defensive observations in Beltway Ben. Let's continue.
Number three.
Roquan Smith is a massive problem. He was terrible last year. He was a total failure this year. And he's got a target on his back. I love to hear what coordinators are saying, watching this film from week to week as they're planning to just throw to their running back. Everybody in the world knew Gainwell and Warren, and they're going to do it till they stop. They couldn't stop it. The only guy who did intervene is Trenton Simpson. Now we got a broke 42-year-old quarterback running for 20 yards, running for more yards than our quarterback because Roquan can't even spy him. They got inside runs when they wanted it. This guy doesn't bring energy. He doesn't bring impactful hits. He doesn't thump. He's a tackling liability, and he is one of the worst linebackers in the league in coverage, to where he can't cover the number two running back threat for these teams. And they're stuck with him for $20 million next year. DaCosta's made a lot of mistakes, but the Roquan thing is his worst. It brings out the worst in him. When he thinks he got over on something, he doubles and triples down on it to show you how smart he is. Why? Because deep down, he's insecure. He knows he's not very good at his job, and he knows that I know he's not very good at his job. But giving up what you gave for him, and then a very small sample where Chicago wouldn't pay him that, and then to pay him that kind of money, knowing you're not going to pay pass rushers now. He chose Roquan over pass rush. And what did that get you? It got you a horrible middle linebacker, and it got you no pass rush whatsoever. And he did the contract so piss poor that you're stuck with him for another year. He got outplayed by Trenton Simpson, and which should have been a defining game for him on the road. You know who was bringing the energy? You know who was leading the huddle? The guy who just got here at the trade deadline. Bro, that's a joke. $20 million for that? Fire the GM.
By the way, Roquan did break the huddle pregame, though.
Watch that game as it moved on.
Yeah.
Watch that game. Go back and watch it.
Oh, I know. My three is, and it could be one, but there's a couple other things that I had to put higher, but their pass rush, it's non-existent. They have two sacks, but one of them was just 42-year-old Aaron Rodgers couldn't beat Tavius Robinson to the corner, so he stopped and got tackled for a loss. That's a sack. They had one real sack the whole game. Next week's going to be a different story for the Pittsburgh Steelers against Houston, but again, another embarrassing week for the pass rush.
Number two.
The Hamilton injury was devastating. And Jason gave you the numbers earlier. I think they win the game. I'm not happy they lost, but I think it's for the best that they lost. I think they win the game if Hamilton doesn't get hurt. It completely, as Jason said, the first play, he's out. It's 3rd and 10. He hits Firemuth in the seam because that's where Hamilton would have been. Aaron Rodgers, he might not have his body like he used to. He's still got his brain.
Except he wasted those timeouts and couldn't get his own play called
helmet,
in time.
Because the helmet was broken.
Oh, stop.
The helmet was broken.
He's worried about Arthur Smith.
Collinsworth called him out about it. Like, dude, stop. You've been in the league 20 years. Call play.
So he knew immediately where to go with the football because Hamilton's not there. And they did it over and over and over again once he was gone.
Pass rush is higher. It's the single most demeaning part of their roster construction. Two is just another fourth quarter collapse. I mean, this is now four coordinators in 5 years. They have the worst fourth quarter EPA per True Media since the start of the 2021 season. This year, fourth quarter, 5.4 yards allowed per play, 26th in the NFL, 5% sack rate, 30th in the NFL, 72 passing yards allowed in the fourth quarter this year on average, 30th in the NFL. They got picked apart by a 42-year-old who should have been hitting the wall in the fourth quarter in a way that, just go watch Aaron Rodgers. Go look at his eyes. Go look at how fearful he was last week. Not just Myles Garrett, that someone on that D-line was going to hit him. And then watch the way he operated in the clutch here. He wasn't up for it last week with the game on the line. Last night, he's baking cookies back there.
Number one.
You can't win in this league without pass rush. And it really is ridiculous. And it demeans you. As people who invest their time, money, and energy in this, that they continue to say things like nobody appreciates pass rush more than us, and they let Judon walk out of the building because they don't want to pay him, and they draft hurt kids in the second round who never amount to anything and pretend it didn't happen. They trade away for a safety who gave up more 20-yard plays than anybody in the NFL. They went through on the heels of the Justin Tucker thing. They bring in someone with Mike Green's background because he's going to be such a difference maker, and he's a total nothing burger. And I don't even blame him. The rest of their pass rushers suck, so how's he going to be any good? Aaron Rodgers, pressure rate when not playing the Ravens, 21%. I'm sorry, 27%. Pressure rate when he plays the Ravens, 21%. That's a 6% difference, 6% on 21. That is a massive change. Aaron Rodgers sacked 5.5% of the time when he's not playing the Ravens, 2.4% of the time when he played the Ravens. For this broken down freak show jerk to drop back 85 times in two do or die games against you and to only be touched six times and only be sacked twice And to throw 81 times without you turning him over when you know where the ball's going. For him never to throw 250 yards on anybody else except for once in Detroit. And to throw for 294 and 284 on you when you knew they weren't running the ball. It's an absolute joke. And why could he do it? Because he feared no one on your roster at all. And he certainly didn't fear your scheme. These are fireable offenses that go way beyond coaching. This was a joke on paper all offseason. It was a joke on paper week one. It was a joke on paper the day before the trade deadline. It was a joke on paper the day after the trade deadline. And it was a joke every time they faced a real quarterback, as I pointed out earlier in this exercise. Fireable offenses.
Number one is we watched that first Steelers game and said, there's no way Aaron Rodgers is going to do that again. He's got no DK Metcalf. He was better last night. That's embarrassing.
I think the 1 and 2 are appropriate because it's season-long issues. The pass rush has been god-awful all year long. When your leading guy with sacks has 4, that's horrific.
28th for the year in pressure rate, 31st in sack rate. It's a joke.
Fourth quarter collapse. You had 2 chances to end the game. 2 chances. And you weren't even close.
By the way, congrats to Tavius Robinson with his sack last night. He leads the team with 4.5.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Travis Jones has 5. He had a sack last night, too. So 5 and 4.5. Those are your leaders. Nnamdi Madubuike was there last night.
Not a pass rusher on that roster.
Coming up next, the Derrick Henry of it all. What a first half, and then what a second half. What do we think of the King in the Ravens' last game of the season? We'll tell you next here on The Fan. Derrick Henry got the volume early. As he rushed for, 79 yards in the first quarter, had 100 yards at halftime, finished with 125 on 20 carries, over 6 yards a carry, had a long run of 41 yards. I think that was his first run of the night. But what do we think of Derrick Henry's evening as a whole?
I mean, look, he did his part. He did what he could. I do find it odd, though, on a night where he does get his 20 rushes, which I know some of us thought 25, 26, but when you look at the ebb and flow of the game,
they hardly had the ball in the third quarter.
For a long period of just time, like real time, ticking on a clock, they didn't have possession of the ball that much. On a night where he had volume on par with the overall number of plays, and they weren't sticking to some cockamamie rotation out of nowhere, I do find it, I guess it is technically ironic, not Alanis Morissette ironic, but truly ironic.
Rain on your wedding day?
That we're sitting here saying they had a chance for more Derrick Henry, more cowbell at the end, and they didn't go to it. And he started the game with a 41-yard run that, you know, set a tone for a while. There was a part of me that felt like he could have ended this game on a 30, 40-yard gallop, maybe into an end zone, which we've seen him do quite regularly in the fourth quarter. And the way that final drive set up, and with him being a part of a 2-minute drill in a way that he's almost never in a 2-minute drill. And I get it. Ali was getting crushed and there's no Justice Hill. But still, I felt like there was a chance for a pop pass to him. There was a chance for a draw to him, some sort of an inside handoff to at least see what could happen. Not just at the end where they had timeout and time to play with, where absolutely I'm trying to get that kid as close as I can in real time, not second guessing it. But they had opportunities to get it in his gut and see what he could do. And I the way that they were playing things, I felt like he had a chance to cement that game for them.
For me, outside of the penultimate play, it was the 2nd and 2. So they started the drive at their own 47. Lamar hits Tez Walker for 8 yards. It's 2nd and 2, and that's when Lamar hit Andrews for 4 yards, first down, but the illegal formation for Ronnie Stanley. Why was it an illegal formation? Because Stanley's trying to get an edge on Highsmith, where he's lining up back so he can get into his pass stance a lot easier. If he's run blocking, you don't have to worry about the illegal formation there as well. So you have 3 timeouts at that moment in 43 seconds, and you're at the Steelers' 45-yard line on a 2nd and 2. That's the play that really sticks out to me. And assuming Henry gets the first down, everything's still in play.
Yes.
Because even at that point, you'd still have 2 timeouts if you didn't want to line up quick and then spike the football. So that's the moment on that final drive where you're wondering.
I also felt in real time, so they had the pistol play where it looks like he's going to maybe pitch it to Henry, and everybody thinks he's going to pitch it to Henry, and that's when he's got the deep shot and the safety's out of the Ramsey doesn't know where the hell he is.
That was the
so. But part of me, like, I'm thinking they're going to go back to that look, and this time it's going to be a pitch to Henry, and he might take it for 30, 40 yards. Like, I feel like they had that set up to now actually pitch it. Like, now they're thinking, well, they wouldn't run it here. They're going to throw it again because most teams would throw it here. But most teams don't find themselves with a return that takes them to the 50, still having all three timeouts, knowing the other team's got none.
You know, one of the things that you've said...
Like, I thought they might try to get him in a different personnel. Like, let's run here. Let's scare him with that. Maybe we get them running back and forth. They don't have any timeouts. We can dictate everything to them.
You talked a lot earlier about being comfortable and no sense of urgency. And settling for a 44-yard field goal sort of speaks to that.
It's
when
their organization.
You've got the hammer. At worst, once you get tackled for a loss and you're still at that same spot and you call a timeout and you kick the field goal, at best, he might get you 7 yards.
You're willing to concede two or three by falling down to line it up,
which
I don't get.
Yeah, why not give him the ball to give yourself an opportunity? You have the timeout. Give him the ball to give yourself the opportunity to get closer, because we know that might be the toughest stadium in football to kick in. Like, that's not an easy stadium to
Boswell
kick in.
Boswell just missed an extra point.
Yes.
It's a tough spot.
And this is a rookie kid. Make it as easy as possible. I know they would argue, well, we centered it for him, but still, 44 yards. And granted, part of me says NFL kickers should have 44-yard field goals, but this kid's never had a game-winning NFL field goal before, and that's a
not even in a ho-hum regular season game, let alone one where people's playoff bonuses are on the line, people's jobs are on the line.
Yep.
Both things can be true here. They should have ran the football and make it as easy as possible and get as close as you could for Tyler Lue, but also... You got to make the kick, dude. You got to make the kick. I get it.
I'm with
you.
It's
high pressure. It's a tough, even though he was kicking in the close end. But it's a 44-yard field goal. Like you got to
make that. I see 44-yard field goals missing this league all the time.
Absolutely. But you should make it. Dude, in a league in today's era where you have kickers banging 60 yards... Boswell hit a 57-yard field goal earlier in the game.
And
yes, is Boswell one of the best
kickers?
Then
he just missed an extra point.
Yes, you're right. But I'm saying both can be true. I would have ran it. I would have put him in the best chance.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day,
but if you're really in Super Bowl or bust mode, and this kid, we brought it up occasionally on the show, starts looking shaky. Yeah, I remember Jonas, who we're going to have on set. I don't even like the way the field goals that are going in are going in.
Yeah.
And he never mastered the landing zone.
Yeah,
and you don't trust him from 50, right? You already don't trust him from 50. And he's looked shaky in the second half of the year. I see the NFL personnel notice every single day. They weren't bringing in guys on the Tuesday just for a look-see. They weren't challenging him, knowing, hey, it's all on the line, and he's never been tested. It's the first time he's going to be tested at Pittsburgh in these situations where everything's a house of horrors for us. And I know you can't control the way the season works out, but we did talk a lot in the summer about in these preseason games, what you jerry-rig stuff.
Yeah.
Early in the year, would you not try to like create some stuff with him or bring in competition where he knows the other guy has won a game before?
I think that's the thing where I'm using air quotes, competition was an undrafted.
There was no competition.
Who was cut before the preseason began.
Yes.
They didn't play
a
preseason game.
Yeah.
It was never a competition.
Coming up next, you
mentioned never
Jason.
Wanted to look an audition at anybody who'd actually won an NFL game before. Okay.
Jonas Schaefer, he was there for a disastrous finish in Pittsburgh. What did he think? He joins us next.